Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Hey, send me some comments. Let me know what you think of the program, of the interviews, good or bad, to capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. That is our email address. Now, we haven't heard a lot about the controversy surrounding the new emergency financial manager law recently, but now the mayor of Michigan's biggest city says he'd consider taking on the role as an emergency financial manager for his city if the state asked him. Detroit Mayor Dave Bing stirring some strong reactions with his comments, in which he said, quote, are not a ploy. To talk about the issue, I'm joined by State Senator Bert Johnson of Detroit. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. How you doing?
Very, very good. Now, you know, the Motor City is facing an overwhelming budgetary reality. It has a $3 billion operating budget, and now is facing over $200 million deficit. Isn't it okay to at least acknowledge that an emergency financial manager may be something that will have to be considered?
Well, I think, you know, that's been long acknowledged that not just did the city have this kind of structural deficit and was it facing insolvency. I think the predominant conversation over the last 2 years since Mayor Bing has become the mayor is that there is more than a threat of having an EM, particularly when you consider how the Republicans put it in and what basis they say that these EMs can go into these cities.
Now, if Detroit is going to have an emergency financial manager, isn't Mayor Bing the best candidate?
Well, I don't think so, and I have it on pretty good authority that the mayor came out and unilaterally made that statement. You know, some Lansing insiders and some folks downtown on the 13th and 11th floor told me that. I spent a really overwhelming amount of time last evening having some discussions about this, but I say that no, he is probably not the best suited candidate because, number one, there's some requisite training that, as you know, the state treasurer, Andy Dillon, put in place. And they train scores of people in the understanding that maybe some emergency management situations would pop up around the state. That being the case, Mayor Bing has not had that training, nor has he had the kind of training that I think from a finance standpoint that would qualify him as an expert in the field. And so I don't say that to besmirch his ability, but really more so just, you know, an honest assessment of what I see.
Now, Mayor Bing says the real problem is the cost to the city of city employees and retirees. There's a 60% increase since 2008 in the city's in terms of the health insurance costs for city employees and retirees. Also, the city's contribution to pensions increased from $50 million to $120 million. And now the other issues, property tax revenues, of course, are falling as there are fewer and fewer people living in Detroit. Aren't the employee unions going to have to make concessions to for the city to make it?
I think you're right. I think you're more than right. And really what you're seeing is how and why the city and cities like Detroit and school districts alike that can be taken over under emergency managers don't work under the current government construct. And so property taxes, we got to deal with Prop A, and we have to find a new way of levying that tax to more honestly and fairly associate that tax with the market value of the homes. But then also you've got to give some credence to the fact that the rising health care and pension costs are a huge issue, not just for the city of Detroit, but across this nation. And so, you know, I had this discussion again last night. While it is completely unfair maybe to ask unions to do more, none of us are in a position where anything that we're going to have to do would be considered fair by those of us who would have to sacrifice. And that's just the position the city of Detroit and cities like it find itself under these days.
What is the relationship in Detroit between the city administration and the unions? Are they in a position to negotiate this and agree on concessions?
You know, I don't think there's been a lot of love necessarily for the mayor in and of himself by the unions because of his predominant mantra since he came into office. But conversely, I don't think the mayor has necessarily given enough credence to what unions are saying have been over and over sacrificed opportunities for the union membership. That being the case, everybody's got to kind of like play the cool head. When I talked to Council President Charles Pugh last evening, I understood his angst. I understood his outrage even yesterday at the pronouncement by the mayor. But I did tell him that, you know, at some point a cool head has to come walking across the floor that can sit with everybody and make some of this work because, frankly, Detroit is broken. in a number of ways, not the least of which is its finances. And so something's got to be done, and it's going to be drastic, and everybody's going to feel some serious pain.
I'm talking to State Senator Bert Johnson of Detroit. Now, I want to talk to you about this this walkout that occurred, 100 Detroit Department of Transportation bus drivers walking off the job this morning, leaving residents stranded. This after a driver was attacked. A union rep says bus drivers feel completely unsafe. It sounds like anarchy. What is what's the latest, and how dangerous are conditions for drivers and residents in Detroit?
You know what? I had an opportunity a couple weeks ago. I'm the author of regional transit legislation, and we're getting all of that stuff together now. I had an opportunity. I rode the bus downtown for a couple of transit meetings. Several things that I saw on the bus line that just completely alarmed me. Number one, as I got on the bus, there are no more seniors on the bus. That nice little old lady who just sits next to you, asks you, where do you go to school? What do your parents do? She gives you a couple pointers before you get off the bus. She's not there. The second thing that I noticed is that the bus driver is no longer a happy camper. Third thing I noticed was that people on the bus don't converse and interact with each other anymore. And the fourth thing I noticed, and this was the most egregious in my mind, is that the bus and the folks who are on the bus now almost symbolize the impoverished conditions in the city of Detroit. Mm-hmm. So everybody on that bus was unhappy. Yeah. And I was kind of in a suspended state, having been removed from taking the bus maybe 15 or so years from ago. Mm-hmm. And, as it relates to these folks walking off the job, I was always taught that, number one, you do your job even under the worst conditions, particularly when your job has to do with the public and the public sector. So walking off the job, number one, that can't happen. That just cannot happen. Now, if there are issues on those buses where the drivers are working in what they feel are unsafe conditions, then that has to be dealt with properly. The police need to be brought in, and there are opportunities to keep them safe. But stranding people who only can get on these buses because their money isn't long enough to get in a taxi or they don't have a ride and can't walk is unacceptable. And that brings Detroit to a screeching halt. And so when I talk about the city being broken in a number of ways, those are the systemic problems that have to be addressed such that the residents feel that they live in a full and complete city.
What is the reality in Detroit right now? Is it more dangerous than it ever was?
I don't know. I don't believe that it's more dangerous. I believe that the conditions that come to bear on Detroit, poverty, folks not having enough jobs, people not having the commensurate education to get the jobs that are out here. I think all of that, you know, makes for a fine mix where it's a crisis. I don't know that it makes it more unsafe than we've ever been, but I do know that we are in a crisis that is of epic proportions, and it is not just related to safety and public safety. It's everything you can imagine you want out of a complete city these days.
Well, Detroit, the population has shrunk so much, and the city remains, and its size, I guess, it doesn't really fit the population. And is it time for the city to consolidate the population into a smaller area?
I don't know that it's time to consolidate it into a smaller area, because I think there are real opportunities for growth and expansion that would ask people to come into the city. I think opening the door and asking people from other places who want to locate into perhaps what is the easiest market to pick up a home, given our property values and the real market values, I think we have a real opportunity to market ourselves. What we have not done, though, is done enough small business generation that would bring people to the marketplace and allow them an opportunity to locate. And so as long as we are lacking that creativity, whether it doesn't come from the mayor's office or the other folks who are leading the city, and that will be foundations and people in the research universities and such, I think that we're missing a grand opportunity to repopulate the city of Detroit. We are not the worst city on the planet. We have many of the greatest tools that you want to have, you want to boast in a city, like a robust theater district. We have the ballparks. Mm-hmm. We've got great restaurants. We've got a vibrant downtown that's on the rise. We're getting ready to usher in mass transit.
Right.
We have great hospitals. We have great libraries. So we have the tools.
Certainly some great places and a great art museum. Democratic State Senator Bert Johnson of Detroit. Detroit, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Have a great weekend.
Excellent. You too.